anything before that, you might as well, you know, take your bunny and burn it over the toilet and flush it.
Welcome to another episode of the Rogue Startups Podcast with Craig Hewitt and Dave Rodenbaugh. This is a podcast documenting the journey as self-funded business founders and sharing lessons, tips, and tricks for businesses following the same path as ours. The journey is long and winding, but we're glad you're joining us for it. And now it's time to go rogue with Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome to episode 90 of the Rogue Startups Podcast. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing today, Craig?
Doing great, man. Thanks. Number 90. We're getting close, and I think we alluded to it last episode. We have some fun stuff planned for episode 100, so definitely kind of stay tuned. Be some fun stuff coming up in a couple weeks.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it, which also reminds me I have a few Skype calls to make after MicroConf. I still haven't done all this yet. So I got to put that together, man. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, it's a sign of a good conference, though, if you have a bunch of shit to do afterwards, right?
Indeed it is, yes. And my list is long, that's for damn sure.
Nice. So, this week I think we'll kind of jump right into it. Talking about something that is kind of front of mind for me, I guess, specifically with getting the Seriously Simple podcasting hosting platform ready to launch. And we're very close. We're going to be onboarding ourselves as our first customer here this week, here towards the end of April. And starting to think about onboarding a lot, because we'll be onboarding ourselves very manually. But hoping that it can be much smoother once we get our first paying customers in. And thought it'd be fun to talk about what we're looking at doing and what you're doing already with Recapture, and kind of what you're seeing is maybe working well, and some things that you maybe are looking to change here a couple months into owning the tool. So, I think it'll be a fun conversation.
Yeah, this will be good. This has certainly been something that's been on my mind for a long time, and I thought it was going to be one of the first things I was going to tackle, but trying to actually put some customers in the funnel and find more holes and to get some more feedback seemed to make more sense, and so far that's been true, but I'm probably going to be circling back around to the onboarding aspect of this here pretty quickly, I think.
You know, I heard an interesting quote from Syed Balki, the guy who owns Optin Monster, and he bought the Yoast SEO plugin recently. But he said amateurs or beginners are all worried about getting people on the top of the funnel, and real businesses know they make their money at the bottom. I was like, ooh, that's harsh, because we all talk about the top of the funnel, and maybe it's a little bit of a vanity metric, but I do think that the hard work comes at the bottom of the funnel, where it's time to convert those people one way or the other. And I think that's what we're talking about today.
Well, you know, it's funny, at MicroConf, Russ Henneberry had actually mentioned the same thing, not exactly in the same terms, although knowing Syed, he's a bit of a blunt guy, so that goes without that doesn't surprise me the way he put it there. He's a fun guy to talk to, that's for sure. But Russ was saying that you can dump all the traffic that you want at the top, but if your conversion rate is at the bottom, not what you need it to be, or you're not providing reasonable content to give them a reason to convert, then you're basically leaving all kinds of money on the table. So it's really saying the same thing two different ways. And focusing down at the bottom of the funnel, trying to get people into your app, staying in your trial, not churning at the end of your trial, all hugely valuable things for growth. And then once you've got that tuned as well as you can, dumping traffic in the top of the funnel is going to be a huge win for you. Anything before that, you might as well, take your bunny and burn it over the toilet and flush it, because you're basically doing exactly that.
It's going to be interesting this is not the discussion for today, but to get some numbers around that, like when do you have good enough conversion rate to start worrying about the top of the funnel again? And then when do you have enough traffic in the top of the funnel to start worrying about your conversion rate down at the bottom? Because I think there's definitely a time and place when one is much more important than the other. So maybe we should do some research on that and report back what some people consider as being like the appropriate time to focus on either of those phases?
You know, I know who would know the answer to that question. It's Lars Lofgren from I Will Teach You to Be Rich.
Yeah.
That's like his whole job. That's all he does is optimize the shit out of the funnel. And he has gotten seriously awesome at it between Kissmetrics and I Will Teach You to Be Rich. I would love to hear his take on what's the magic metric for that. But I know he's not like a huge fan of podcasts in general, so I don't know getting him on the show would necessarily be a win. It would be a win for us because he's a great guy to talk to, but I don't know that he wants to do podcasts. He's not really hip on podcasting. He's part of the cool crowd.
That's right. The cool crowd's all podcasting. Come on, man. You should see some of the names we have.
I thought we were all a bunch of posers.
You should see some of the people we talk to at Podcast Motor about wanting to get into podcasting. I mean, whether they come on as our customers or not, it's like, wow, you're going to do a podcast? That's amazing. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. We're old school now, though. We're
kicking it old school, and we're part of the new hipster movement. And so, Lars, if you're listening, which I know you're not, you're just – you got to get with the times, man. Come on our show.
That's right. He's missing out. He's missing out. Cool. Okay. So, I think that to begin with, kind of obvious, but to talk about the goal of onboarding assistants, or now pretty commonly referred to as customer success. So you have someone – sign up or start a trial or whatever, get into your world, and now the goal is to convert them to a paying customer or to have them realize kind of the value of your tool, right? So helping them do that in the smoothest, quickest, and most efficient way possible is the goal, right?
Yep. And in fact, if you're trying to onboard somebody and you've got a fairly complex workflow, part of that onboarding is to really to introduce them to the most important features in your workflow in the order that you think that they should be introduced in a way that makes the customer the most successful the most quickly. So that can be a real challenge, just understanding what that is. So if you don't have tons and tons of customers for your app, you really need to sit down and get customers and watch them go through this process. Like if you can physically sit down at a computer with them and watch them do this, it will be mind-bendingly amazing. So Ben Orenstein from Thoughtbot did this, and he talked about his little simple podcasting thing called Briefs.fm, where he does little 3-minute snippets of sound and post them like a podcast. And he was at Big Snow Tiny Conf and talked specifically about this, where he basically did screen shares with users to watch exactly what they were doing to get on board, and was blown away at what he thought was a blindingly obvious screen. And this was not a complex workflow by any stretch of the imagination. He showed us the original and the final versions and some stuff in between. It's like a 2 or 3 step process, and you'd think, oh, Dave, come on, that's super easy. Anybody can do that. No. There were places that they got confused. There were places that they got hung up, and it was not stuff that Ben expected at all, or his co-founder. So being able to understand what your users need to get done and how they can do it and what is best for them is really what onboarding is about. If you can make that super, super smooth, your users are going to feel more successful sooner. And if they do that, they're more likely to convert to a paid account.
Yeah, for sure. So I saw this firsthand recently. Matt Medeiros, one of the big WordPress guys, offers user testing videos as a service. So it's like a product you could buy. Him reviewing your app or your marketing page or onboarding into your service for like $50. It's a fantastic service. We'll link it up in the show notes. And he kind of tore apart Seriously Simple Hosting recently. And so this is kind of like front of mind for me of like, what is it like to watch somebody walk through your marketing page and sign up and install the plugin and log in and connect that for us, like an API key and all this kind of stuff. Exactly what you're saying, Dave, like the most obvious thing is not obvious to everyone. It's a couple ways. It's in the app or in the tool, and also the messaging that you're sending to the people outside of that are both important. And so I guess it gets to like there are a couple of places and tools that you have to consider when looking at onboarding somebody. And I guess the first one is really the product itself, and like does signing up for and starting with a product kind of makes sense. And I would hope that we all kind of build that into the product itself. But if you haven't onboarded yourself recently, this is one of the MicroConf talks from last year. If you haven't onboarded yourself recently, you probably should, because it's the thing that every one of your users do. I think this is the teamwork guys talked about this last year. It's like you should onboard yourself like several times a year to make sure your onboarding process and signing up for your app makes sense and is a smooth experience for your users.
And in fact, I was sitting next to Ken Wallace last year when Peter Coppinger was talking about this, and Ken was like furiously writing down some notes and scribbling things down. And he was basically trying to create onboarding as a service. Like he would basically onboard onto your app every so often and then send you feedback on that one. And it didn't end up going anywhere, but it was a great idea. And it sort of encapsulated this notion of you need to do this on a regular basis, but nobody really wants to do it. And it's hard to get that new perspective, the beginner's mind part of it. Once you've gone through the onboarding, you think you know it. And the truth is you start to skip mental steps in there because you know what's coming, but in that case, you're not the user. So it's really valuable to get that onboarding experience from a third party if you absolutely can. So something like Matt Madero's service is a great way to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's 37 minutes of cold, hard reality he sent me. And to be perfectly honest, it took me about a week to watch the whole video, because I would watch it and I would pause it and I would go and I'd fix the problem and I'd watch another 5 minutes and I'd go and just, I'd have to go for a walk. So I'd have to think about like, oh, he says, you know, your page sucks. And so I'd have to like tear the page apart and start over. And then like, you know, the messaging in the app sucks. And then he didn't even have the email sent to him. So that's like a whole nother realm. But yeah, that's a lot of feedback to get. So I think it's not unfair to break it up a little bit and say, you know, hey, just look at this part or look at this part, and then break it into chunks so it's manageable. Because if you look at the whole thing, it is a little tough to eat the whole elephant at once.
Yep. So some examples of people that we see that are doing some amazing onboarding would include like our friends over at Drip. So Rob and Clay at Lead Pages do a great job at, you know, getting you signed up, sending you initial emails, trying to get you to do certain things. If you don't complete them within a certain period of time, you actually get reminders about that. When I was signing up for stuff with Recapture, I had been a Drip customer for a long time, but recently when I re-signed up again to get a Recapture account, I got to go through their whole sequence, and it's actually changed and gotten an amazingly new level better. They've now introduced like a default workflow in there where you just start filling stuff in. You don't even have to like define all of it yourself. So much of that manual work has been taken out of it from the time that I remember signing up for it years ago. That's the kind of stuff that makes for successful onboarding, something that makes your customer's experience of getting into this complexity and this power super, super simple. So I think Drip does a fantastic job of doing that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, one I would add to that is we were evaluating Sprout Video for like a video hosting service for our podcasting course a while back, and they did a really nice job of this and just sending emails on a regular basis, not just about how to use their tool, but kind of best practices about video and how to shoot video and how to share video and things like that. I think that introduces an aspect of not just like, and Drip does this too, I think it's like best practices of the niche that you're working in, but also onboarding and making sure people are engaged and successful with your tool. So that they can see the value. So I think it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of like, how do you do X well? And then how do you do it with our tool? Kind of both need to be considered there. But the Sprout Video guys did a good job. We didn't end up going with them just because I'm a cheap bastard and it was more expensive than Vimeo. But that introduces like one of the big things that ticked me off about Vimeo is theirs was really bad. Fortunately, I feel like I'm enough of like a self-service person, I can do it myself, but it really did turn me off to see the difference because I was evaluating both tools. So it is a sales tool in the end too.
Yep. You know, I was thinking other examples that we could demonstrate here, and there's a lot of them. You know, if you go to Brennan Dunn's site on doubleyourfreelancing.com, you'll find all kinds of great onboarding on there. And he does like deep personalization to make the onboarding even better than that. And I did that ages ago. I haven't done it recently, but I know he's constantly improving it. So if you're interested to see what like seriously personal onboarding looks like, that's a great one to try out. But the one I've done more recently that I'm actually using directly within Recapture is Price Intelligently, which is done by Patrick Campbell of ProfitWell. And it's basically their version of like Baremetrics or Chartmogul or First Officer or whatever, except that theirs is actually free, speaking of cheap bastards. And it's free up to a point. So basically what they want to do is they want you to grow your SaaS to a point, and then they're going to give you some upsells that you can use to increase your growth even further. So they're using this as the hook to get you in there and working with their tool. And then once you reach a certain level of MRR, then they start saying, oh, hey, look, we can do this to help you optimize your pricing. Oh, hey, look, we can do this to help your dunning, you know, stuff like that. And what I really liked about the Price Intelligently onboarding was that the tool itself, you know, had a little self-service tour that showed up in there, but it wasn't like the usual ones. I always feel like those are kind of ham-fisted. Like you start logging into a tool and then the very first thing is, okay, let's get you started. And like the whole screen gets taken over and you got no choice but to like either click through it really fast, which I do all the time. And then later I'm like, God damn it, I wish I had gone back to listen to that one part, but I didn't want to see the whole thing. Like they forced it down my throat at the wrong time. Price Intelligently didn't do that. They actually have something that sits on the side all the time that if you want to go through it at any time, you can do it, but you only have to do it when you want to and within the context that you want to. So if you're lost on one thing, you can totally get that in-context help to go through it, which I thought was awesome. But the other thing that I really liked was that it wasn't like I learned everything that I just told you about Price Intelligently through their onboarding emails. So they started by, you know, talking about, you know, making sure that your Stripe is connected. And then they basically, as soon as you did that, they sent you an email right away that said, okay, hang on for 24 hours. We need to import all this stuff. It's going to take us a little while, but once we're done, we'll send you an email. Boom. As soon as it was done, I got another email, said, here's a link, go right in here. Like I didn't have to go hunting around in the dashboard to find where they were talking about, like dropped me right into the right place so I could see what was going on with Recapture, which was super cool. So that was like super clear, three emails in, and I'm already feeling like this tool has done a really good job of telling me what it is I'm getting out of it and how to use it without like, you know, cramming it down my throat or making me angry by making me go through all the baby steps that I don't want to go through. And then after those emails were done, they kind of let me play around in the tool a little bit. And I don't know if it was like a time-based trigger or if it was something else. But after a while, I started getting blog articles from them about, okay, so here's some great practices on pricing. And here are some psychology tricks that you can use on pricing pages. And here's what our tool does for you about pricing. So I got a couple of articles on pricing, and then they told me what they do about pricing. And then I think I got another series of things, and then they told me what their tool did about that. And I forgot what that one was. But that series of emails felt very natural and personal. And it wasn't forced. So I thought that those guys did actually a fantastic job on that. And I'm looking at their tools thinking to myself, yeah, as soon as I get to a point where I have enough MRR, I'll probably upgrade to their service at this point, just based on the fact that I've had a great experience to date. Yeah. Oh, and I also get weekly emails from them about the performance of what's going on. And they were the best formatted, least difficult to interpret emails of all the tools that I had tried.
Man, you're lucky. I get emails from Patrick every day about how our growth is relative to last month. Every day I get an email from him. Oh, your revenue this month is X over last month. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I know.
No, so you forgot. Yeah, that's the one email that I forgot that has been the most motivational. So I don't get those emails about where I'm at in my revenue from any other tool except Price Intelligently.
Yeah.
And that's like this. So we were just talking about this before the show. I got one email today that basically was like this crushing thing. And earlier, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was having great email. So this thing can be like a total roller coaster thing, but I'm very engaged. Like I look for that email in my inbox to find out where I'm at. And it tells me exactly where I'm at. So they've already created a huge amount of value for me. And I'm hooked on their tool, which is exactly what you want when you're onboarding somebody.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. You know, just to add another example, a lot of people here have probably seen it. WP Engine is more of a support thing. It's not so much onboarding, but they have like guided tours of how to do certain things in their tool. So if you say like, I need help, you know, adding a redirect rule to my install, they have like a guided click through thing where they show you, okay, now we're going to go do this and enter your URL here. So that's cool. If you're a WP Engine user, you've seen that. I think you could apply that same kind of thing to a guided tour once somebody signs up, or make it like they do on demand. So if you have a question about something, you could introduce that guided tour. And I guess now would be a decent time to talk about some of these tools. So like I was looking at them. There's like 7 or 8 jQuery libraries that do this, and one of them is Bootstrap Tour, where when you land on a page, or if you click a button, I'm sure you can configure it that way, it walks you through on a page how to do things, and it pops up messages in certain spots, and you click on this and enter this information here, is a cool way to do it. But like you said, Dave, it has to be done sort of tastefully, and where it would add value to the user without pissing them off and keeping them from doing what they want to do with your tool. So I think that's an important distinction.
Yeah, and in my case, dismissing it shouldn't like make it completely go away, because sometime in the future, there's almost always an event when I'm in any of my SaaS tools where I'm like, how the fuck do I do X? And if I know I've done it in the past and I've just forgotten, but if I could get back to that little tour, it would probably tell me where it was. So the fact that, you know, it just disappears means I got to go into the help docs and I got to do some searching and I have to hope that I hit the right keywords and stuff like that. So I've seen it done well and I've seen it done poorly. It's a tough thing to balance, and, you know, you kind of have to just spend some time talking to your users, finding out what they really struggle with, and then add those things into the Bootstrap tool or whatever your tool of choice is to make it easier for your customers to go through that experience.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So I think we probably use similar but maybe slightly different tools aside from something like a jQuery library. Obviously, some sort of email system is helpful to send messages to people, and it should be based on what's actually happening in your event. So we use Drip. Dave, are you using Intercom or Drift, or using some sort of in-app messaging with Recapture?
We use Intercom and Recapture, and okay. That was actually built in by the other guys. They have a distinctive set of events that go through and some initial in-app messaging. The thing that I don't like about it is that the messages all go in-app right now. Like, they don't also get sent via email. So if somebody like jumps into the tool, signs up, struggles, and then quits, like it's silent on them. So I know I need to fix that. That's a flaw in the way that it works. What it really needs to do is it actually needs to trigger the email. But this was an older setup. I haven't figured out exactly how to do that yet. But that's one of the deficiencies I know I need to fix and Recapture. I would personally switch it all to email, because I think having it I would like to have both, so that they get the emails separate from the in-app stuff. And maybe if they've completed a certain section of things in the in-app, that I just set a tag and I send it to Drip and I say, don't send them this.
Yeah.
Because they've already done that. And I don't, you know, we don't need to go crazy there. But something like that. So that at least that there's the opportunity that they can be told what they need or where they should go or something, instead of just like, you know, crickets.
Right. Yeah. So with us, what we're doing is we're having the opportunity to see a bunch of these people do it right and hopefully do a little bit. But we have a couple things. One is like in-app or in-page notifications. So we're using Bootstrap. So like the notification bars at the top of a page when you first sign up says, hey, like when they sign up for a hosting platform, they say, hey, first thing you need to do is go enter your podcast details here to create your API key to connect it to your WordPress install. It's basically all they need to do. So it's just like a little green bar at the top, and it gives them a link in there. It says, hey, go over to this page and enter the name of your podcast so we can create an API key for you. So I think that's one. Talking about tools, another tool is actually in the app itself, guiding people with like static HTML. And then clicking that button and filling that information out for us, we're only using drip events. So it's all gonna, for us, it's all email based. And I think it's an interesting thing to talk about is like you touched on earlier is like when someone is actually going to start getting value from your tool is really like the goal, right, of customer success is like the customer is successful when they see value from your tool. So for you, it's when they've connected your tool to their checkout page to check for abandoned carts and be able to send emails and enter in email templates or drip flows or whatever to send to people. For us, really, it's when they connect the hosting platform to their WordPress site and publish a podcast episode. And so for us, it's only like four events that take somebody from when they sign up through all of that. And we're just using like a conditional workflow that's not necessarily time-based, but event-based. So like, did they create an API key? Did they validate WordPress? And then did they publish an episode? And once they've published an episode for us, we're really considering them to be onboarded because, I hate to say it, we don't offer a lot more like incremental value from there because it's a hosting platform. Once you're signed up and publishing stuff to the hosting platform, you're pretty well onboarded. But it brings up an interesting piece of feedback I got from a friend is that if somebody is on, for us, like the good track, if they've done all of the things they're supposed to do, they're not going to get any emails from us. So I think it's just an interesting thing to think about is like, if you have conditional triggers, whether it's in app or email, and somebody does all of them, you should still send them emails about your product so that you're kind of front of mind for them.
And in fact, I would suggest that your very first email is not about the onboarding. It is an email that I stole from Alex Turnbull at Groove, which is basically ask them why they signed up, you know, get to know them a little bit and find out what thing that they felt your tool solved in their words was. And apparently Alex has like a 41% response rate on this. I'm just putting mine in place now because I'm replacing the onboarding one that exists now. It's not getting super high rates, but that part of that is that it's all in app. It's not email. So not everybody's seeing it is my guess. Mm. And the ones that are seeing it, not everybody's responding to it. So I'm rewarding it to steal more of Alex's direct text. But that like helps you do some customer development. It has zero to do with your onboarding, but it looks like the way that you structure this email is specific to, you know, it makes it look like a personal email from you as the founder to the customer. So maybe the other stuff, you know, your customer support team or whatever, you sign it, hey, Podcast Motor Support or something like that, less personal. But then this one, you know, says Craig Hewitt, CEO, Podcast Motor, you know.
Mac Daddy.
Mac Daddy, yeah, the big Mac Daddy. That please don't sign Mac Daddy.
Oh God.
Pro tip for the day, never sign an email Mac Daddy. but that feeling of the founder reaching out to you, the customer, still has tremendous power. Like they cared enough to actually talk to you. And that's what was successful with Groove doing that and getting that high response rate. You know, there's probably a time when we're going to reach out and people are going to be like, oh God, not another CEO email. But I don't think we're there yet. Like I still see this when I send out customer support things and it says, I'm the owner of Business Directory plugin. And people are very thrilled to be talking to somebody who has the authority to do something about the plugin, that they feel like they're being heard. They feel like they've got a direct voice to somebody who can make change and affect things. Like that's a big deal to people. So you should really tap into that. And it has zero to do with your onboarding as you know, a goal to make them successful as a user. It really is about finding out what they want, what they need, and how you can provide that for them.
Yeah, for sure. Customer development after they've signed up is still really valuable, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a follow-on email that you can send out, and this is actually being done in Recapture right now. That email is the, what's the thing that we could be doing for you that we're not right now? So I call it the missing features email. And that right there is another great way to do customer development, because you send that, you know, somewhere in the middle of your sequence in there, maybe, I don't know, I think in Recapture it's like 3/4 or halfway through the trial. I'd have to look at the timing exactly. It's a ways into the trial. In theory, they've actually done stuff. They've got their store connected. They've seen the value at that point. That email right there allows you to find out what is it that your product is missing that you need to be working on next, directly in their words without having to, you know, send out surveys or anything like that. I mean, you're kind of getting this constant customer feedback by throwing that out there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. We send an email similar to that as part of a sales process. But yeah, I love that for someone who's already onboarded. Cause I think it could tell you about someone who doesn't realize a feature that you actually have that they think you don't, which is like the worst part of like a failed trial or churn, right? Is they think you don't have the ability to do X, when in fact you do. They could say that in an email, and you could prevent someone from failing to convert pretty easily, right?
Right. So you could add another series of emails in there if there are specific features that people keep skipping or missing for whatever reason. Your docs suck, the help doesn't come up in the keywords, or it's just not something that's easy in your interface to find, whatever that is. You can introduce those as part of an educational email series so that you can say, hey, this is a common feature that everybody gets a lot of benefit out of. Let me walk you through how to do that. And then you have like a screencast that shows how they can actually do that, or an explainer video that walks them through the steps. So you can combat it that way.
Man,
although in reality, you probably want to be fixing your UI if they can't find it.
I am all in explainer video mode right now, and it's video is so much more involved than any other form of content. I feel like, because it's like
time suck.
podcasting is like we just sit here and talk, and writing you just sit there and write, but video has to be like scripted. And doing something either, you know, you in front of the camera or as a screencast, and doing them together with your voices. Anyways, as an aside, it's kudos to folks who do video well, because I think it's very challenging.
Amen to that one. Yeah, getting a – and then not just all of that, but then if you want to distill it into like something like an explainer video where you only have 60 seconds to really go through that before you know the user is just going to drift off, right?
Oh, yeah.
You've got to distill it down to like the hard-hitting emotional, gets all the bullet points in, but is still under 60 seconds or 90 seconds or whatever it is.
30.
That's hard. 30. Oh, we're down to 30 second? You know, it's going to be like 3 fucking second explainer videos here in the next 5 years, and we're going to be like, I can't do that. I just can't do that.
Yeah. No, I'm shopping around right now for agencies to do an explainer video for us. 30 seconds is the recommended length now. Yeah.
Jesus.
Which I mean, talking about copywriting, it's tough to write a script for a 30 second. I mean, it's like 80 or 90 words to explain what your thing does, which I mean, you should be able to do it in like 5 words, but to do it in a video in 70 or 80 or 90 words is, yeah, it takes a lot of time. But anyway, it's a bit of an aside, but it is definitely a tool that you should be using in-app and in your support docs to help people get the most value out of your tool, for sure.
Yeah.
Even though
yeah.
It's fucking hard. Yeah. Yeah.
Very hard, very hard. It's a strong investment, and it's difficult, but it will definitely pay off. So.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. You want to talk about some other events that you can use in your onboarding sequence here that aren't necessarily going through features or activation or the welcome email or the missing features email that we've talked about?
Yeah. So for us, it really comes up to, we are going to have a 14-day trial. You have something similar, I'm sure. And so this is not a conditional email. It's not if they onboarded or not. Everyone is going to get this email, and so that's a little bit different. You know, hey, tomorrow your trial period ends. Your card will be charged because we're getting card up front with our customers. Your card will be charged, and you'll start your subscription, blah, blah, blah. And then sort of the opposite, though, is like if they don't want to convert, then kind of they need to go into a bit of workflow. And I think, Dave, you have quite a bit of email around the people who don't convert or the people who have churned, right?
Yeah, so I've got it a little bit different because I don't take a card up front for the trial. So they can try it out without any risk, but at the end of that trial, the paid features revert back down to a free account. So that's like analytics only and recapture.
Okay.
So at the very end, there's two in-app messages that go out basically asking them, like right before, hey, your recapture trial expires tomorrow. And then afterwards, hey, your recapture trial expired. You're going to be missing out on all these great features and all these things. And hey, look what we've recovered for you and yada, yada. And then I actually have been adding an additional sequence on top of that to try to find out after they've – so there's a difference between, you know, didn't convert and then churned. And I used I just grab emails based on where they were at. So if somebody churns, I drop them into a 5-email sequence basically asking them, why did you leave us? What was missing that we didn't have that you needed us to have? Or what features could we have built to keep you? Or what in our service didn't work well? You know, that kind of a stuff. So you just keep following up until they say fuck you or yes, which for me is about 5 emails. You know, it's still strange that even after those 5 emails, there are a lot of people just ignore it. I think, you know, email can be easily ignored by some people, and, you know, it happens.
Yeah, I mean, those are the people that are never going to convert and are never going to stick around anyhow. So it's not some huge loss, I don't think.
No, not so much. But it is frustrating when you're sitting there as a SaaS owner trying to figure out how the hell can I keep these people? Like, what is it that I need to do? Like, if you're not getting feedback, that's so frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So then there's that one. And then for those that didn't convert, then I ask them similar questions in kind of a 5-email sequence. What was it that you didn't find that we should have? Or what did you have trouble with in your trial? You know, sometimes they just like they sign up and then they never activate. And, you know, I've tried nagging them like for the first 2 months. I actually would go in every day. I'd find out where somebody was at in a trial because I didn't have that many people going through a trial. And I would send them a personalized email directly from me. It looked like it would be something from an autoresponder sequence, but I was actually physically writing these emails at the time and then later just copy pasting them, asking them, so I see that you've gotten to this step in the workflow. What, you know, how come you didn't go to the next step? Did you run into a problem? If you have any issues or anything, I'm happy to help. Just hit reply and let me know where you're stuck. I'll be happy to jump on a call or send you an email or screenshot or whatever. Carrier pigeon, I don't care. Please use my app. Love me. You know, not quite that desperate, but.
But not far.
Not far from that. Yeah. You know, there's a fine line between follow up, helpful CEO and desperate sounding, clingy, needy guy who wants you to sign up for his app. Don't be that other guy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Just don't. But yeah, those things have generated some feedback for me of people that have said, oh, well, I'm moving to this, you know, super expensive tool. And so I was like, oh, well, you're definitely not price sensitive. Okay. Or somebody said, yeah, we're shutting down our store. So I'm like, oh, okay. Nothing I can do about that. At least you have a feeling for where you stand at that point and it feels a little bit better. But yeah. But those are important emails to send as part of your extended onboarding sequence here, because onboarding doesn't just end as soon as they've activated. I mean, that really is an ongoing thing. Like, you could still send blog articles to them while they're using your tool, which A, reminds them that you're still here, B, adds additional value because presumably you're sending them blog content about stuff that relates to your tool, stuff that makes them better at their business, stuff that, you know, they would be interested in because of the kind of tool that you use or whatever that is. that kind of keeps you at the forefront of their mind. And so they're not wondering, well, why is this charge showing up on my credit card every month from Podcast Motor? Gosh, I'm not even really doing podcasting anymore. In fact, I haven't heard from Craig in months. Ah, fuck it. I'll just cancel. You know, that's what you don't want to happen when you're sending them ongoing blog content. That helps prevent that. It doesn't stop it entirely, because at some point people are like, yeah, I'm just not doing this. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. You don't want them anymore. They're not your customer. But at least the ones that are kind of on the fence, those are the ones you want to try to convert.
Yeah, I think that the balance to achieve there is to send them the informational and update blog content separately and timed appropriately from things like onboarding or a sales process or like your churn recovery emails, because you don't want, and this is a little challenging, I think, even in something like Drip, you don't want to send them a blog article the same day that you send them a, hey, you're about to convert article or email, because then it's just like, wow, two fucking emails from Craig in the same day. This is crazy. So, I mean, I think – so Brennan does it with tags. So, like, if someone is in – he uses the example of, like, a sales cycle. They don't get the tag of, like, newsletter, say. Once they're out of that workflow, they get the tag of newsletter, and they can then get the blog post. So that might be a way that you could do it if you're in something like Drip, where only people with the newsletter tag get the update emails. Everyone who's in a sales cycle or a recovery cycle or an onboarding cycle, they don't get that tag and they don't get those update emails, because they should only be getting emails specifically about what your top focus is right then. And it's probably not sending those blog articles, right?
Yep. Yep. You got to be very careful that you remain contextually relevant. So staying focused in the sales cycle about sales things and then waiting until they're out of that to send them anything else is definitely good. And obviously you wouldn't start sending them churn stuff in the middle of the sales cycle. That just doesn't make any sense. But tags certainly are a great way of managing that. That's a great suggestion.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. So yeah, I'd be interested to hear what we've missed or what we've kind of skipped over here. If anybody has information or insights about what they're doing on onboarding, I know there's a lot of people doing it really well out there. Would love to hear from you. Shoot us a message, podcast@roguestartups.com, or leave a comment in the show notes for this episode. We'd love to hear from you and love to hear some specifics about things that definitely work and things that might not work, so we can all kind of learn together. So, and if you have a chance, leave us a review in iTunes. 5 stars is always welcome, but we'd love to hear from everybody. So if you haven't left a review, we'd really appreciate it. Dave and I always get kind of jazzed when we get a new review and to hear from people that are listening to the show. So if you have a minute, go over to the wonderful clunky iTunes interface and leave us a review. And we'll see you next time.
And that's our episode for this week. If you have any questions or comments, please let us know at podcast@roguestartups.com. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Rogue Startups. And be sure to visit roguestartups.com for full show notes on each episode. If you're enjoying the show, we'd sure appreciate a review in iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.